With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lost to the Miami Heat by a score of 111-102. No, the Miami Heat did not have Jimmy Butler, who is obviously on the list of all-time Raptor killers. He might be just behind LeBron James. That's how much Jimmy has done to the Raptors. And no Tyler Hero. He was honestly really good in the playoffs. And no Avery Bradley and no Myers Leonard, whatever. I mean, solid vets, you know, whatever. But no Hero, no Jimmy Butler, and you would think you would maybe take something from Miami, who were 5-7 coming into this game. The Raptors were 5-8 coming into this game. Prime opportunity, take this game. And look, I didn't have any grand illusions that the Raptors are going to blow the Heat out, or gonna, you know, anything like that. The Heat are not a team that the Raptors ever blow out, ever, okay? It's a... You know, if you've ever watched Raptors Heat games, they're always painful. Even last season, when the Raptors finished second in the NBA in wins, the Raptors lost to the Heat in a game where they couldn't crack 80 points. All right, so you know how difficult the Heat are. You know, and even without Jimmy, they still can compete clearly, and they competed quite well tonight with what, 5, 6, 7 players scoring in double digits. Okay. And, yeah, it was a bit of an ugly game. And really, we can start in the fourth quarter where the Raptors opened the fourth quarter. It was a close game still. I thought the Raptors were getting outplayed, but it was a close game, right? The Raptors were down 88-83 heading into the fourth quarter. And the Raptors then just proceeded to brick everything. OG Anunoby made a 3-foot dunk. About 30 seconds into the quarter, the Heat went into a zone. The Raptors fed the pass to OG. I believe it was Kyle who found OG. OG spun and just threw down a two-handed dunk right over Precious Achiuwa. It was a fantastic play, and it was, you know, one of the only highlights I remember from this game for the Raptors. From that point onwards, the Raptors were at 88-85. The Raptors would then be stuck on 85 points until... I'm scrolling here, the 5:17 mark of the fourth quarter, which means the Raptors went over 6 minutes without scoring not just a basket, because, you know, free throws exist in the game of basketball. No free throws, nothing like that. Not a single point. They were stuck on 85 for 6 straight minutes, and it was hard to watch. It was, Terrence Davis losing the ball. OG Anunoby kicking the ball. Chris Boucher missing threes. OG Anunoby dribbling the ball out of bounds. You know, what else here? OG missing a three. You got Kyle Lowry missing an open three. You got Norm Powell getting blocked at the rim. You get Fred missing a pull-up 17-footer late shot clock. You get TD slipping the ball out of bounds. You know, and then finally, at that point, six minutes have gone by. A very, very long time. 6 minutes is not 6 minutes. That 6 minutes felt like a lifetime. Pascal finally comes in and throws in a mid-range push shot. But by that point, the Raptors were down 11 points. And realistically, the game was over because you knew the Raptors weren't even going to score 11 points the rest of the way. The Raptors in the fourth quarter were that bad offensively. And you might think, all right, the Raptors still scored 19 points in the fourth quarter. Honestly, the Heat got a double digits, they got up to 15 points, and then the Raptors made a couple of baskets along the way, you know, when the Heat kind of pulled their foot off the gas pedal. It's like, all right, if you want to make a fake comeback, you can. And so the final tally doesn't look that bad, but I'm telling you, the start of that fourth quarter, it was so ugly. And look, listen, I have to give the Heat a ton of credit, okay, because they played a great zone defense. First off, they have Andre Iguodala at the top of that zone, and Andre even at his big age, I think he's almost 40 years old now. How old is Andre Iguodala at this point, man? I know he's a tech investor and things like that. Let me just look up Iguodala's age. Because as you remember, the Raptors should have picked Iguodala with the 8th pick in the 2004 draft and said they took Rafa Araújo. Andre Iguodala is 36 years old. He's turning 37 in the end of this month. So, you know, so we're talking about a 37-year-old. But still, Andre is really, really good defensively. And him at the top of the zone just completely cut off so much for the Raptors. And the Heat were just way more physical in the zone. I thought, they played really well defensively. But the Raptors just couldn't get anything done. And what I mean, I can't get anything done against the zone, I mean the Raptors couldn't even step foot inside the three-point line. It was locked and guarded, okay? Like, the Miami Heat playing zone defense had better defense than the USA Place defense in Capitol Hill. Like, that's honestly, like, it was so hard for anybody to get past the three-point line. And granted, start of the fourth quarter, you don't necessarily have your best players on the floor, right? But you still had some guys who had gotten going before that. Boucher has been good this season. He was not good tonight. You have Kyle Lowry, who's, you know, your best player on the team. You have Terrence Davis, who actually had a good offensive game tonight. You have Norman Powell, who's capable of scoring. And I forget who the fourth guy. Oh, and OG Anunoby, right? So, like, it's not that bad of a lineup offensively on paper, but they just could not get anywhere inside the three-point line. The Raptors called timeout. They brought Fred and Pascal in. And the results didn't really change that much. The Raptors just literally were just... They were clueless, right? First off, they were running their offense very slowly. So, you know, the Raptors facing the zone, you know, most shots went late into the shot clock before they just heaved up something, usually from three. And, you know, it was bad. But there was no dribble penetration, no pick and roll, nothing like that. The Raptors just couldn't get anything going. And it was very painful to watch. Honestly, you know, I'm surprised, but B, I'm also disappointed. It's hard to be surprised and disappointed at the same time, but I am. Because you think about it, the Raptors played extensively against the zone last week. They played those two games against Charlotte. Now, of course, Charlotte plays a different zone than Miami does, okay? Miami kind of, I think they kind of have three players along the perimeter and only two kind of along the baseline, whereas Charlotte's zone mostly has one up top and then more guys stacked in the paint, and they're kind of trying to prevent, they're trying to double the paint more than they are trying to keep the ball at the three-point line. The Miami Heat just kind of shuts you out all entirely, so, in the construction of it, it's different, but still, I think the same principles apply. The Raptors played the Hornets, and you would think that experience of playing the Hornets would allow them to have some experience of playing the zone. It's not like they haven't played zone all season or anything like that. They played it last week. And of course, after the Raptors almost choked away that first game against Charlotte, where Charlotte played a zone for extended periods, the Raptors spent the next practice practicing against playing the zone. And so you know a lot of time and effort has come into this. The Raptors practiced last night heading into this game against Miami, so you know that they probably practice against the zone again, because Miami run the zone quite a lot, especially last season. The last few years, they ran the zone tons. So you kind of know when you go up against an Eric Spoelstra team, they're going to run a zone. Despite all that, the Raptors just, they had no clue. They had no clue what to do. It was really ugly to watch, and, you know, it was a very disappointing night. And really, though, it's not just the fact that the Raptors, you know, wilted against the zone. Look, you got to give Miami a ton of credit. You got to give Eric Spoelstra a ton of credit for deploying that zone. It's really the fact that the Raptors were even in a position in that first place. Because I thought the Raptors should have established a lead before this. They had scored efficiently heading into the fourth quarter. And of course, you got to close the fourth quarter, you know, obviously, right? But, you know, you look at this game, the Raptors were down even heading into the fourth quarter. And why was that? You can't blame the zone for that. That's not what happened, okay? It's not like the zone stopped the Raptors in the first three quarters. That's not really what happened. The Raptors didn't run that much zone in the first three quarters. What happened was the Raptors were just sloppy time and time and time again on defense. And again, you got to give Miami a ton of credit. They ran their offense quite well. Obviously, they're missing Jimmy Butler. They're missing Tyler Hero. Those are two of their main options offensively, right? But when you go up against an Eric Spoelstra team, they're always going to run system offense against you, and they're always going to be well orchestrated. They're going to trust the system heavily. And what I mean by that tonight is, you know, the Heat are very, very good at running dribble handoffs, pick and rolls. They screen on and off the ball. They're just always moving. There's always two things happening at once. And so you really need to be coordinated and orchestrated in terms of everything you do defensively. You got to be on a string. And what the Heat will do is they'll run these screens on and off the ball, and it's almost like shuffling a deck until you eventually get something good. And then at that point, you press your advantage, and Miami will then find a crack in the defense and then just exploit that crack, draw help, swing, 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 and a guy's either getting a layup or it's a three. The Heat are very tough to defend, even without some of their best players. That's why you see them tonight. There was almost no drop-off because their system is just that good. Having said that, though, the Raptors defensively are supposed to be good. I mean, the Raptors have really hung their hats on defense the last few seasons. I know the results haven't been fully there this season, but we've seen the Raptors defend well. We saw them defend really well against Luka Doncic, against the Mavericks, just the last game. What we saw tonight was breakdown after breakdown after breakdown. This wasn't like Jimmy Butler scoring 40 points in a second half because nobody could guard a pick and roll. This was the Raptors just kept making mistake after mistake after mistake. Guys would just blow right by, walk right by, back cut right by, open threes, handoff, you know, miscommunication. Guys are open for three. Guys are switching when they're not supposed to be switching. Guys are not switching when they're supposed to be switching. It's bad. And you let a roster like this, and you know, and it's not to disparage the kind of talent that Miami had, because I think they still have good talent regardless. But what I'm trying to say is that it's not, they're missing two of their main offensive guys. And yet Miami, look at their offense tonight. 49% shooting from the field, 45% from three, including 18 makes. Where did the Raptors disrupt them? And really, honestly, you know, they should have done better. They really should have, right? They really should have. The only good thing I thought the Raptors did defensively was keep Bam Adebayo mostly in check with his own scoring. However, that's different from saying that Bam Adebayo was shut out from this game. Absolutely not. He was the most influential player for Miami on both ends. Why? Because a star like Bam, A, he can create for others. 7 assists from the center position. This guy will run pick and roll and throw a cross-court pass. Beautiful stuff, okay? Bam has a crazy skill set. But Bam was able to facilitate, orchestrate offense for his team, set up guys, put pressure on the basket. And of course, you're always going to have to guard this guy because he's obviously a huge threat to score in the paint. And he has a mid-range game a little bit, which he actually showed a little bit tonight. And you kind of compare his game to a guy like Pascal's game, and it was very, very different. Yeah, you might say, okay, Pascal had 18 points, Bam had 14, you know, roughly equivalent. Both of them shot under 500 from or 50% from the field. You know, what was the big difference? The big difference was that Bam you were able to run a system around Bam, even when he's not necessarily scoring for himself. Because I thought Aaron Baines actually did a really good job, probably better than anyone else on this roster in terms of guarding guarding Bam. Because Baines actually is one of the rare players in the NBA who's strong enough to absorb Bam's shoulder and not be moved out of the way. I mean, Baines is a rock. Like, he's literally a rock, okay? And he pound the rock, Dwayne Casey, you know, that's, you know, it was Aaron Baines he was talking about. And he matched Baines. And even honestly, when it was OG guarding Adebayo, when it was Siakam guarding Adebayo, even those guys did well on the ball. It's just that Bam was able to run the offense, dribble handoffs to set up his three-point shooters, huge screens to pop guys open, rolling to the basket, pulling people open, defenders with them, you know, three-point shots being there, being more of a factor on the offensive glass, 5 offensive rebounds for his team by himself. And then defensively, because the Raptors were, you know, struggling so much with the zone, well, part of the reason the Raptors were struggling with the zone is because, A, there was 2 players for any perimeter player to have to beat on the perimeter, okay? And the Raptors were not swinging the ball well. But even if the Raptors did beat that initial line of defense, Bam Adebayo was in the paint all the time. Now, I might say, okay, maybe you call some 3-second violations because there was entire possessions where this guy lived in the paint. This guy should pay rent in the paint. But still, he was around the basket, and he's just such a rim deterrent. Like, he's just such a shot deterrent at the rim. And you compare that to a guy like Pascal, it's different, right? It's not like Pascal is involved in every single play like Bam is. Bam will catch the ball, screen, all this other stuff. Siakam kind of is involved in every play, but a lot of plays flow through Kyle, a lot of plays flow through Fred, a lot of plays Pascal doesn't even touch the ball. The physicality is night and day between what Bam does and what Pascal does. And Pascal might have a little bit better in terms of just a purely speaking a scoring skill set. Bam is easily the better playmaker. And part of that comes from the physicality. When he screens somebody, there's a 2-on-1 advantage. When Pascal screens somebody, half the time he missed. And, you know, you look at it, 2 assists versus 7 assists, it's different. And even defensively, I thought Pascal had an off night defensively. Didn't, you know, I mean, look, I don't want to single him out because I think a lot of the Raptors tonight were off defensively. When you give up 88 points through the first three quarters to a team without Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero, among others, I don't think that's a good defensive effort. And if you look at the tape of some of the stuff, Pascal, you know, rotating to the wrong guy, switching the wrong times, you know, even when he was, you know, contesting shots, people were going through him and stuff like that. So it was not a great game. It was not a great game to watch. And, you know, it kind of really limited what the Raptors, it kind of showed the limits of what the Raptors had. In terms of positives, I would say, you know, I thought OG had a really nice game. OG provide a great effort. I think he's really found his groove. It's no wonder that OG played 40 minutes. I think it's a great matchup for him because Miami, for example, kind of dominated across the board with their physicality. They were just more physical. They played much better. Except for the matchups with OG and Obi. OG and Obi would out-muscle these guys and actually give it back to them. I mean, that spinning dunk in the fourth quarter was the only good thing the Raptors did in the fourth quarter. OG was active on the offensive rebounds, especially in the fourth quarter when things got really awry. It seemed like OG was taking his game even to a higher level in terms of his energy, in terms of batting balls out, really contesting, winning jump balls, stuff like that. It was a good effort from OG. And I thought offensively, especially the three-point shooting, has really come around for him. He's apparently leading the NBA over the last five games in corner threes made, and it feels that way because he's really confidently rose up and hit those. And honestly, there's a couple of looks now where teams are up on him and it's contested. And probably 2 years ago, OG would not take that shot. Now he's just taking that shot confidently and he's shooting over the top of guys. I'm not saying he's Duncan Robinson, man, but he's been quite nice. OG was 4 of 8 from three tonight, 3 assists, a steal. You know, he wasn't even making good decisions out there. That's also one difference, but I don't know too much on negatives, although after losses, you know what to expect. That's one of the big differences. Is it feels like Miami makes quick snap decisions and they work well as a team. When the screen's supposed to be there because they're going to swing the ball, the screen is there. And when the ball is swung to the weak side, the guy can attack instantly. There's a step on the defense, right? They're always working in sync in concert. With the Raptors, it's so much dribbling and guys trying to beat their man and then kicking it out. The system itself is not creating any easy opportunities. On top of the fact that guys are just making slow decisions. Kyle makes fast decisions, and OG makes reasonably fast decisions. Everyone else kind of drags their feet a little bit, or they're just taking what's created for them. And the difference in shot creation was quite stark, but regardless. I thought OG played really well. He's really come into his groove. You know, he had 18 points tonight. He was good. Fred had some moments where he was trying to force it, but honestly, the Raptors' offense was quite bad. Still, I do want to see Fred try to create more for others as well, but it's hard to say that when he's got 9 assists. And honestly, he's been playing. This is a game where he did have to generate a lot of his offense, considering how bad the rest of the offense was. And so for Fred, like, you know, he maybe took like two or three shots that were like ill-advised, but on the whole, he was the main engine for the Raptors' offense. Kyle created good opportunities, set the tempo well, but he missed so many shots. He was 2 of 12 from the field, 1 of 10 from 3. Kind of an ugly game in terms of the shooting. He had good opportunities. He didn't get them to go. And then I thought it was real interesting that the Raptors played so much of Terrence Davis tonight instead of Norman Powell. First off, I thought it was interesting that Nick played Terrence Davis and leaned on him so hard, even though against the Mavs he committed 5 fouls in 12 minutes. And Nick is he has such high standards defensively. But although when I did ask Nick about the fouling thing, Nick said that, you know, he's going to continue relying on TD. So he actually went to bat for TD, which, you know, when other players have made mistakes at the shooting guard position, sometimes they get banished for life. like Matt Thomas. But regardless, you know, Davis got a lot of run, and he got a lot of the run in the minutes that Norm would usually get. Norm played 19 minutes a night. He wasn't good. Okay, let's be real. He wasn't good. Minus 17 in 19 minutes. He had another play today where, you know, the ball was swung to him. Andre Iguodala tied him up. And, you know, it was a late shot clock situation right at halftime. And Norm decided to call for timeout to try to preserve possession, which he successfully did. Except for the fact that there were 0.4 seconds left and he was already in the backcourt at that point. So it was a bit of a, I don't know, the Raptors only drew up like a full court heave for those 0.4 seconds. I mean, you know, that wasn't the greatest use of a shot clock, but still, you can't knock a guy's hustle necessarily. But yeah, TD got most of Norm's minutes tonight, and that was kind of interesting to me. I mean, TD was playing better than Norm was. He was delivering way more, 16 points, 4 rebounds, assists, 3 steals, a block. You know, his activity was good in terms of defensively. There was, you know, he's like Norm in the sense that you'll give up a lot on defense. You know, like Kendrick Nunn, for example, was TD's main assignment tonight, and Kendrick Nunn had 28 points. So that's tough. Although that wasn't entirely on him. But there were plays where Nunn would just back cut Davis right away for a layup, and, you know, that is on him. Or TD would rotate poorly. But he at least was providing offensively. The only reason I found it interesting was if the Raptors are looking at showing this much faith in TD in that spot, and given the redundancy between TD and Norm, could that mean that you want to give an extended look to one of those two guys because there's a redundancy there and you can use either of those two guys in a potential trade package? I mean, that's me stretching a little bit more than, you know, obviously it could just be a basketball decision to play them. You might need them for offense, but I found it interesting. In any case, TD played a lot of minutes tonight and had a really good first shift, second shift, not so much, but no one had a good second shift. You know, Boucher cooled off tonight, definitely in a hard cool off. He's been obviously giving you 20 points every night. Tonight, 8 points, 1 rebound. Definitely not the same. I think the product of this game here was that what Chris Boucher does really well is three things. One, he's really good at in transition, for example, beating the team down the floor. Now, the Heat were really, really good at getting back in transition. There was no transition opportunity for anybody. So, no chances there for Boucher. Two, really going to put back dunks. The Heat were extremely physical. They really, really were good on the defensive glass. The Raptors actually got more offensive rebounds than them. But for the most part, there was no opportunities, really, for Boucher to get in the offensive glass. And then three, he's really good in the pick and roll. And he did get some threes out of it, some pick-and-pop threes, but, you know, Miami will mostly live with that. The thing what Miami really did well was take Boucher away from the paint. And so, and by doing that, what they did was they cut off the pick-and-roll for Kyle and Fred. They ran them off the three-point line for the most part, got him inside the paint, and, you know, they dropped back, and Boucher just wasn't open that often. And the Heat played really good defense. And this is what the fear is at the moment, at least, is let's say the Raptors go into a playoff setting. Although, honestly, given this game, I don't want to see the Raptors in a playoff setting. It could be pretty embarrassing. But let's say you go into a playoff setting. A lot of those easy points are cut off. And so what can Boucher consistently deliver? And that's where you are a little bit concerned. Or, honestly, a lot concerned, considering how important he is to this team at the moment. But, yeah, Boucher just was not there tonight. I thought Miami did a really great job scheming him, taking a lot of stuff away. And yeah, when the Raptors can't run pick and roll, A, because, you know, Kyle and Fred aren't, as, you know, playing that well, you know, or because the, you know, the other team is really playing back and trying to prevent the, you know, things with the rim, or playing a lot of zone, so pick and roll just kind of goes nowhere. Yeah, Boucher is going to suffer because of it. You know, he's it's like when you yeah, I don't know, that's actually a bad analogy, never mind. But yeah, it was a tough game, but you know, the Raptors, they lost the game. What can I say? In terms of your three stars, first star, I'll give it to OG. 18 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, 6 of 12 from the field in 40 minutes, 4 of 8 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. I loved his activity. I loved his energy. I thought he was the most dialed in off defensively, which is his role. And offensively, he was obviously quite productive, especially in the context of the game where the Raptors couldn't score. OG giving you 18 was pretty important. The fact that he made quick decisions, I really liked that too. So I'll give OG the first star. Second star, probably going to have to go with Fred. 24 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, a steal. You know, in 37 minutes, the shooting efficiency, 7 of 18 is not ideal. you know, 3 of 8 from 3. But he got to the free throw lines 8 times. You know, the onus was just so much on Fred to create that sometimes he had to force it a little bit. And so the efficiency comes down. But I thought Fred played... I mean, Fred generated more offense than anyone else on the team. That is kind of indisputable. And then third star, you know, is, you know, I think TD is a decent shot at it, you know, for his play off the bench. But I have to say that, I don't know, man. I honestly do feel like Kyle still got it over him for the third star. 8 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, a block. Yes, Kyle shot 2 of 12 from the field and 1 of 10 from 3. And I'm not trying to excuse that. That's obviously a huge part of why the Raptors lost, is Kyle needs to make his shots, and tonight he didn't make his shots. What I will say is, Kyle made the quickest and best decisions for the Raptors tonight, and the Raptors just had a lot of, like, stuck without any idea what to do. And Kyle kind of turned the key on the lock a few times. If you want to give it to Davis, you can have that, you know, whatever. It's maybe they can share the award or something, but... objectively, I thought in terms of who contributed more to the flow of the game, I think Kyle did more, but, you know, obviously it's a weak third star. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's got to go to Kendrick Nunn. 28 points on 9 of 12 shooting. That's unbelievable. 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Yeah, wow. That was a hell of a game from Kendrick. Yeah, in terms of the rematch, the Raptors are going to play against Miami on Friday. I mean, look, hopefully the Raptors use this next day off to practice zone. Maybe in particular Miami zone, but practice some zone. Maybe have some schemes, anything. You know, like you just can't be as unprepared as you are today. I think, honestly, in terms of adjustments, I think Stanley has played some really great minutes of late. But in this specific setup, playing Stanley is very difficult against Miami because Stanley's going to give you very, very little offensively. And so I honestly would look at Watanabe, for example. You might need him on the floor. It's a bit of a drop-off defensively between Stanley and Watanabe, but Utah at least gives you the three-point shooting. Anywhere you can fit more three-point shooting in this lineup against Miami, try to do it. You know, Nick Nurse said he almost pulled the trigger on putting Matt Thomas into the game. I don't know what that really means, other than he just didn't play him tonight. But try to find opportunity for Matt Thomas, because you're going to need to more shooting to unlock the zone. And you might say, well, here the Raptors already shot 49 threes tonight against the Heat. What more can you do? Honestly, shoot 60 threes against Miami, because they don't really have the firepower in the paint, the Raptors, to score against Miami in the paint. So you're going to need to hit like 20 threes. And is that a healthy spot to be in? No, absolutely, okay? That's obviously that you're playing from a weaker position. But that's where the Raptors are in terms of this talent. And, you know, without that kind of interior scoring from Pascal, who can be neutralized in the zone, we saw it against Charlotte. Obviously, you know, Miami's going to do the same thing to them in a higher degree. Yeah, you're going to need more. Going to need more shooting, so... it's a disappointing loss, although I think within the context of the season and given everything that's gone on, it's also not that surprising. Even though Miami was missing starters and things like that, they were still the better team tonight, and that says a lot about where the Raptors are at 5-9. So it's disappointing to lose the 3-game winning streak. It's disappointing that the Raptors had been playing quite well, but they ran into a good team, a really well-coached team finally, and they kind of just picked the Raptors apart. So hopefully the Raptors have a response. I'm really looking forward to it. I really don't want to see them lose 2 games in a row. Hopefully they make some adjustments in the time in between. Hopefully Pascal's okay, by the way. He got open for a dunk, and there was some contact, and he lost his grip on the rim, and he fell awkwardly. His legs kind of did the splits a little bit, and you know, he talked about afterwards that it was the groin, and that the groin has not been feeling great for him of late, which... I mean, that's concerning, because he did have a groin injury last season, as you remember, kept him out a month, and then afterwards his athleticism wasn't as, you know, over the top and elite as it was to start last season. Pascal ultimately did play 37 minutes, so he was clearly fine enough to play, but we'll see. It's something to monitor. I mean, look, listen, the Raptors cannot afford any injuries to this already very short roster, so we'll see what happens there. But it was kind of a freak play, and hopefully he's okay. Honestly, hopefully get some better, like... I understand it's a global pandemic, things like that, but can we get like better people who mop the floor Please, because I don't want to see Kyle Lowry slipping on the floor, man. I just don't want to see that happen. Like, that shouldn't happen on a transition play, no less. You know, that someone should come in and mop the floor when the other team is on offense. And when the other team's on offense, you mop the other sides of the floor. I don't want to see these players getting hurt. And Pascal losing his footing is one thing. Oh, you know, Kyle losing his footing is one thing. Please keep these guys safe, man. So, yeah, it's a disappointing loss. So I'll check back on Friday after the Raptors play the next game against the Heat. Thanks for listening.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.